Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. Now, friends, in this passage we see a picture of the great gentleness of Jesus. He demonstrates gentleness in character and in conduct, and it's communicated in these two pictures of a bruised reed and a smoldering wick. And if you think about a reed, it's not too strong to begin with. It's really just a glorified blade of grass, more or less. But if a reed is bruised or if it's battered, it is already on its way to being broken. Similarly, with a smoldering wick, it is on its way out already. I think you've seen this. Anytime a candle is blown out, when at first the wick blows bright red, but then you can see as the blackness creeps up to the top until that last little flickering bit of red ember fades from sight and it fades from existence. And when we think of why candles are ever blown out, usually it's because somebody decided it's no longer necessary. It's outlived its usefulness, and so someone puts it out intentionally. Perhaps it's just windy outside. The circumstances don't lend themselves to keeping lit. Or maybe it's just been burning too long and has nothing left to burn. Now, in any of these cases, it's not really tragic if we're really just talking about candles. But here, we're being told about people. These are pictures of the people whom Jesus is caring for. People who are hurt and fragile. People who in themselves are hopeless. But Jesus practices gentleness in caring for them. And sometimes we have the word gentleness, sometimes it's the word meekness. Neither word sounds very strong to our ears, but meekness is not weakness. Rather, meekness or gentleness, it is the ability to show restraint for the good of another. And it is a restraint that requires great strength. If you think about powerlifting, okay, I'm not a weightlifter, and probably doesn't surprise anyone to hear. But like me, you've probably seen people lift weights, and you've seen them lift it up high and then press it above their head, and then what do? They drop it, and it goes crashing to the ground in front of them, and they're done, they lifted it. And that requires a lot of strength to get that weight up high, but what if instead of dropping it, they were to take it and to very slowly and lightly, gently set it down? How much more strength would that gentleness require? But again, we're not talking about weights or inanimate objects. We're talking about how we care for people. And think about what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2. He uses very similar language. In 2 Timothy 2:24, he says, "The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth." There, Paul is talking about the way in which we correct others. And so that should make it obvious that being gentle does not mean being permissive. It doesn't mean allowing wickedness or error to continue to spread and to grow. But in dealing with it, it demonstrates a great care that the person who needs to be corrected would be brought to the right place. Gentleness is concerned with doing the right thing, but also doing it in the right way. And so in times of conflict, in times of disagreement, misunderstanding, Friends, brothers, elders, we must strive to be more and more like Jesus and less like Pharisees. When we return to the Sabbath issue in Matthew chapter 12, the Pharisees were willing to sacrifice people and their needs for the sake of principle. And that's not good. Now, the opposite extreme is not good either. We don't want to sacrifice good principle for the sake of people. And that's where we often find tension in ministry, between people and principles. It's very similar to the tension between law and gospel, the tension between grace and works. But I'm convinced that this is a tension that we introduce, because this is a tension that is resolved in the person and the work of Christ. We're told in John's Gospel that He is the Word made flesh, that grace and truth are realized in Him. And this is where a very interesting distinction between Matthew 12 and Isaiah 42 comes out. In Isaiah 42, verse 4, this passage ends by saying that when He establishes justice in the earth, the coastlands will wait expectantly for His law. But in Matthew 12, by the inspiration and the interpretation of the Holy Spirit, it ends by saying, not that they'll wait for His law, but that in His name, the Gentiles will hope. Now, it's not that law and Jesus are opposed. After all, He came to fulfill the law. But the way Jesus accomplishes justice is according to His perfect law and according to His amazing grace. And if it had only been one or the other, then either righteousness would not have been fulfilled, or else merciless judgment would have been executed upon us all. And sometimes we think that we must choose between one or the other. But what happens if we look to Jesus? Jesus did not sacrifice people for the sake of principle, but Jesus did not sacrifice principle for the sake of people. The only thing Jesus sacrificed was Himself. What He could have justly done unto us, He took upon Himself. Our Jesus was gentle for the sake of His sheep, for the sake of His people. And these, brothers, these are the same people that you and I are called to care for as the Lord's bondservants, serving His people in His name. And so tonight, let me exhort you in Jesus' name and in Jesus' strength to be gentle. And the gentle elder does not lose control of emotions, of words, or of the heart from which these words flow. The gentle elder does not lose sight of the flock, nor of the individuals which make up the flock. And he does not lose sight of Jesus. But because of this, he does not lose. We're told here in Matthew 12 that it is in this way that Jesus is leading justice to victory. In the way of Christ, not one single bruised reed will be broken, and not one smoldering wick will be put out. And so let me close with this encouragement, that Jesus' promise, it extends not only to those under your charge, but it extends to you. Now you might think, well, that goes without saying. But brothers, that can become a problem when we forget to say the things that go without saying. Sometimes it's because of the tragic trickery of the devil. Sometimes it's the vanity of our pride, or just the weakness of our own flesh, that cause us as elders to apply the truths of Jesus to others but forget to do so to ourselves. Because if gentleness requires strength, but we find ourselves being continually weakened by the demands of ministry, the afflictions of spiritual warfare, the trials that you may be enduring, then how can we expect to be gentle? We can learn from Jesus. We can take His yoke upon us and learn from Him, because He's already told us He is gentle. He is humble in heart. And in Him, you will find rest for your souls. So take hope in this, that if you are a battered reed, and many of you are, okay, this room is full of it. Some of our bruises are more public than others, but there are many of us here. Jesus says that He will not allow you to be broken. And we, as a presbytery, even as a synod, we've suffered some bruising this year. But so long as we remain in the caring and gentle hands of Jesus, He will not allow us to be broken. And if you're struggling to hope, remember also that Jesus does not put out smoldering wicks. But a smoldering wick must go out if it remains a smoldering wick. Smoldering wicks are not sustainable. And so if Jesus says that He will not put you out, that means the only other option is that He will cause you to burn brightly once again. So hold on to this hope as we trust, even together, as the Lord's bondservants, that Jesus is holding on to us. Friends, would you please turn in your psalm books, Psalm 86, selection A. Would you stand as we lift our voices in praise to our God and remain standing for prayer.
To you, watch over my